I know of someone who, when she gives her servants their monthly salaries, and this really moved me, she gives them the money in a beautiful envelope and she seals it and she thanks them. Thank you. Or if she has to help them out in any way, this is how she gives them. And she thanks them. She says, thank you for giving me this chance to help you. This is the vision of a mu'min. No condescension, no arrogance, no, oh well, I've done this for you, now you'd better stay in my employ for at least 5 more years. No. Then what else does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go on to say? وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. The neighbor who is related and the neighbor who is a stranger. Allah could have said simply the neighbor, but no, he says the neighbor who is related and the neighbor who is a stranger, to emphasize the importance of neighbors. Now this can be a neighbor as in, you know, if you're living in an apartment building, or if you're living in a joint family system, or if you're living in a block of flats. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of companions with Allah is the one who is the best to his companions. And the best of neighbors to Allah is the one who is the best of them to his neighbor, Tirmizi. And again, if you look at situations where there are many people living together in cramped circumstances, or even, you know, in the suburbs, people don't even know the names of their neighbors. And it's taken for granted that your neighbors and you are not going to mingle, and your neighbor might be dying of hunger or of depression or of anxiety, but you're not going to bother to find out. But if you look at the poorer areas and the sort of fights and discord that go on, there's a lot of love and harmony too, but there's also a lot of fighting going on. Why? Because neighbors' rights are not being fulfilled. Neighbors are being harassed. How do we harass our neighbors? Many ways of doing that. You know, by playing loud music, by if you're sharing water, or if you're having, you have a common wall, or if you have a common gate, they're not taking care of the other person's rights, not being considerate to the other person, hurling your garbage in the other person's garden, and generally, you know, making yourself so obnoxious that the other person is just praying that you leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, he is not a believer. By Allah, he is not a believer. By Allah, he is not a believer. It was asked, who is that? He replied, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil. Bukhari and Muslim. This is how strongly huququl ibad have been emphasized in Islam. And we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, he will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his wrongful conduct. And here we take it as a matter of our ego that I have to show him that I'm tougher than he is and I have more contacts than he does. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Do you know that we're told that if someone is satiated while his next door neighbor goes hungry, he's not a true Muslim. What does that say about the state of our Islam? We don't even know what our neighbors are up to. We don't even know what they're suffering because we don't care. Then, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and the companion. وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, the companion by your side. Islam is so vast. There is not one area that Allah has neglected. Everything is covered. Everyone is encompassed underneath this vast, in all-encompassing mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so beautiful. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, the companion by your side. This could be a temporary companion. This could be a permanent companion. This could be someone that you're sitting next to on a bus, or on the plane, or in a room, or in your own home. Anyone who sits by you has a right upon you. Now, for this we find that the Prophet ﷺ told us some very important and beautiful narrations that emphasize again the rights of people who are our companions, whether it's on a temporary journey. We find that the Prophet ﷺ said on one occasion, this is a companion narrates that once we were on a journey, when a rider came and began looking right and left, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has an extra mount should offer it to him who is without it, and whoever has surplus food should give it to him who has nothing. And he continued to mention other properties until we thought none of us had any right to the surplus of his own wealth. Muslim. Now this is very important to understand, because this is a sign of stinginess and selfishness. There are many people who love to hoard. They'll have lots for themselves, but they need to be sure that they have more than they need. And sometimes it happens you're on a journey and you run out of water, and there's someone sitting right beside you and she has extra water, but she's not going to share it to you in case you have some disease that she might catch from you. Or for any other reason, that what if she needs it herself? Do you know that the Prophet ﷺ said there are three types of people with whom Allah will neither speak on the Day of Judgment, nor will He purify them, and there will be a painful punishment for them. One of them is a person who has spare water in a desert, and this can apply to other situations as well, and he refuses to give it to the traveler, Bukhari and Muslim. And there are many such people. In the Quran, Allah says, يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. They'll refuse little things. They can't bear to give you a little bit of sugar. They can't bear to lend you some tea. They can't bear to lend you their cooking utensils. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Everyone who is sitting beside us has a right upon us. The Muslim is like a tree. He gives shade to all, an evergreen tree. And then, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And the traveler. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ literally means the son of the road. And even the phrase is evocative of our sympathy. That you're supposed to feel compassion towards someone who's on a journey, who's traveling, who's without his own comforts, who doesn't have the comforts of his own home. So you're supposed to provide for him and you're supposed to take care of him. Now, after mentioning all these people, and the traveler especially symbolizes people that we don't know, because sometimes we're only kind to people that we know. And we think, why should I smile at her? I've never met her before and she's going to go back to Karachi in a few days. I don't need to get to know her better. وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Then, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ, the traveler. Even in today's age of comfortable travel, this still applies. And then most importantly, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, the slaves that your right hands possess. Now, there are no slaves, but there are servants. And if we look at the way we treat our servants, even the best of employers, the least that they cannot forbear from doing is backbiting about their servants. And that's not even considered backbiting, right? Because they're not even humans. The favorite topic of conversation at any ladies' gathering will be servants and their foibles, and how my servant irritated me, and how she's such a bad servant, and I've done so much for her. Everything that you've done for the sake of Allah is boasted about as if it was done only to ensure that person's continuing in your employ. Once we find that a man abused his slave by calling his mother bad names, and really it's tragic the way some ladies yell at their servants and humiliate them. They will humiliate them, they will make them sit outside for all hours, even in the month of Ramadan, a month where you're supposed to care for others. But the poor drivers will be made to sit outside as if they are not fasting. They're not human beings. No food will be provided for their iftari. It's taken for granted that they're just, you know, they should be used to a tough life. And people humiliate their servants by yelling at them and abusing them and cursing them, using foul language, religious people. You know, and the Prophet ﷺ heard a man abuse a slave by calling his mother bad names. He called him and said, did you abuse him by calling his mother bad names? You still have some characteristics of ignorance. Your slaves are your brothers, and Allah has put them under your command. So whoever has a brother under his command should feed him of what he eats and dress him of what he wears. Do not ask them to do things beyond their capacity. And if you do so, then help them. Despite all that they do for us, we're still grumbling. We're still dissatisfied. We still have a whole list of complaints against them. Remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about doing ihsan to all these people, it's not just the tangible help that you give to people. It's the kind word. It's the friendly word of encouragement. Listening to their troubles. How many times do we listen to the troubles of our servants? Or we listen once and then we say, all right, I've heard enough. How many times do we enter the house of someone else and say salam to the servant as he opens the door? We'll wait for him to say salam. How many times do we greet our servants before they greet us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you're supposed to do ihsan with all of mankind, like an evergreen tree, giving shade to all. Now, ways that we can actually do good to people, there are so many. But one very important way that I would like to mention is by giving them du'as. And this is something we neglect. Du'as is something we've left for the old grandmothers who have nothing better to do. But to give someone a du'a is the best gift you can give them. And the more sincere it is, the better a gift it is. We find that we're told that if someone does you a good turn, then reciprocate it. Do something for that other person. If you have nothing material to give him in exchange, give him so much du'a that even your heart tells you that you have compensated him adequately. And this is very important. And again, this is part of the spirit of Islam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-deenu nasiha." Deen is caring. It's about well-wishing. The most important quality that we need to remember is that we have to keep our heart free from rancor towards all the people that we've just read about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is not proper for a man to keep away from his brother, Muslim brother that is, for more than 3 days, and then when they meet, to turn their faces away from each other. The better of the two is the one who greets the other first." A narration of Bukhari and Muslim. We find that the Prophet ﷺ said to Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, "O my son, if you can act in such a way that you spend your mornings and your evenings without wishing anyone ill, then that is how you should always act." He added, "O my son, this is my way. And anyone who loves my ways, loves me. And anyone who loves me, will live with me in Jannah." There's a beautiful story that once the Prophet ﷺ pointed out a man and said, "There goes a man from paradise." And another companion started following him around, and he started observing him closely, but he could notice nothing extraordinary about him. Finally, he went up to that man and said, "Look, what is it that you do? There must be something extraordinary about you, but I can't see what it is." And the man said, "Well, there's nothing extraordinary. One thing that I make it a point of doing is that every night before going to sleep, I make sure that my heart is clear. It's pure from all rancor or all hatred or all anger towards people. And that is how I sleep every night." This is one of the characteristics of Jannah. Remember, Islam means peace, outward and within. And the only way we can spread Islam outwardly is by having peace within us. The first satanic crime was arrogance, then envy, then malice. Allah concludes the verse by saying, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalan fakhura." Allah does not like those who are arrogant and boastful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us so sternly against arrogance that he told the people, "Anyone who has an iota of arrogance in his heart cannot enter paradise. Anyone who has in his heart an ant's weight of arrogance will not enter Jannah." So someone said, "Well, a person likes to wear beautiful clothes and shoes." He replied, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. Arrogance means ridiculing and rejecting the truth and despising people." Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Shall I not inform you about the inmates of hell? Every violent, impertinent and proud person." Bukhari. We learn from a narration in Tirmizi, "Nothing will be heavier on the day of judgment in the scale of the believer than good manners. Allah hates one who utters foul or coarse language." The dearest and nearest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment will be the one who is the best in manners. "And the most hateful among you and the farthest of you to me will be the pompous, the talkative and the arrogant people." Tirmizi. "Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalan fakhura." Have you noticed the sequence between the words? After mentioning all the people that you're supposed to be good to, Allah reminds us, now after doing all this, make sure you don't become arrogant. Because there are two qualities. One is that you do all this and you start becoming really complacent and smug that I do so much for people and I take care of people and I serve people. There are many people who serve mankind, but then they love to boast about it. And sometimes arrogance prevents us from being good to our servants. No, why should I give him respite? Why should I give him a day off? Let him come and apologize. I'm not going to greet him first. So these are the two main blocks in our path to being good to the rest of mankind. And what are these two qualities? Number one, arrogance. And number two, bukhul. Allah goes on to say, "Alladhina yabkhaluna," those who are stingy. Remember, stinginess doesn't simply mean, you know, being stingy with your wealth. This is being stingy with your time. This is being stingy with your friendliness. There are many people who will only smile at those they know, who will only be friendly with those that they want to know, and they won't bother to waste their time or courtesy upon anyone that they don't like, or they think that, you know, she's not going to be my type. This is a very common phrase, oh, she's not my type. Alladheena yabkhaluna, people who do bukhul, stingy with their courtesy, stingy with their time, stingy with their knowledge. Some women will not even tell you the complete recipe. They'll always withhold that one ingredient that was necessary. Alladheena yabkhaluna. This is all part of stinginess, a mean mind, a selfish nature. Now, why should she have it? Why should she make it the way I do? Those who are stingy, what else do they do? وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. They enjoin stinginess upon other people. People who are stingy and ill-mannered themselves always encourage others to be rude. Yes, you give it to her. You let her know that you're not going to be a doormat in front of her. Those who enjoin stinginess upon other people. Think to yourself, what sort of advice do we give our friends? Sometimes someone comes up to you and says, I'm having a difficult situation. How should I deal with this situation? Instead of giving them the right advice that Allah would love, we give them advice that is based on arrogance and that's designed to make them really become alienated from their family. And this is how people cause harm. Although we are told, Al-Mustasharu Mu'tamanun, if someone asks you for advice, they're trusting you, that's an amana. You're supposed to give them the advice that you would follow yourself. Those who are stingy, and they tell others to be stingy. وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. They hide what Allah has bestowed upon them of His grace. Many women, unfortunately, and many men like this as well, people who can't bear to share, who will never introduce anyone, you know, they won't even introduce their friends to other people, to their in-laws, because they're afraid that the in-laws might take over. They hide what Allah has bestowed upon them of His grace. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a disgraceful torment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every day two angels descend. One of them says, O Allah, give to the person who gives. While the other one says, O Allah, destroy the one who withholds. A narration from Bukhari. We find that in the Quran, again and again, iman is expressed by giving. Giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your wealth, giving of your knowledge, giving of your love to people. If you look at the beginning of Al-Baqarah, what are the first characteristics of the muttaqin? They believe in the unseen. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish salah. And number three, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفَقُونَ, they're spending, they're giving. Not that you give everything away, but they're sharing. And when you share, that softens the other person's heart towards you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a beautiful narration that we find from Abdullah bin Salam, who was a Jew. And he says, when he came to Medina, the first time I saw him, I saw this man with this beautiful face, and he's telling people, Afshu salam, spread salam, that is, spread the greeting of salam amongst yourselves. At'imu ta'am, give people food. In other words, feed the poor. Sallu bil layli wa nasu nayam, pray at night while people are asleep. Tadkhulul janna bi salam, you will enter paradise in peace. And he says, I thought to myself, this is not the face of a liar. This has to be true. And he accepted Islam. So here too we find Allah emphasizes the importance of giving. And the more difficult you find it to give, the more important it is to conquer that stinginess. The more important it is to conquer that inward selfishness. I read a quote the other day, he who conquers others is strong, but he who conquers himself is mighty. And to conquer our inward shuh, our inward stinginess, no, this is mine, why should I share? That's very important. وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And then comes another category. First Allah mentioned the arrogant, stingy people. Now come the show-offs. Those who spend of their wealth to be seen by people. And they do not believe in Allah and the last day. People who spend when their names are going to come in the newspaper and their names are going to be read out loud and everyone's going to applaud them. But if they don't receive credit and if they don't receive appreciation, then they don't want to do it. Then that's a sign that they're not doing it for Allah. They're doing it for dunya. Allah warns us, مَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَهُ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا. Whoever takes shaitan as a friend, then what a terrible friend he has. To do things for Allah is the only way of ensuring that you will be rewarded for them. Otherwise, they're deleted, they're gone. Maybe you received that appreciation and maybe you didn't, but it was all in vain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ Actions depend upon intentions. So make sure that your intention is pure and that shaitan does not mess it up. وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ Allah asks us, what would have they lost? What would they have lost? لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ If they had believed in Allah and the last day. I mean, think of the tragedy that this is someone who is doing good, but because it was for the wrong reason, it wasn't stored up for him. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ What loss would they have had if they had spent out of what Allah has given them for sustenance? What difference would it have made to them if they had given that sadaqah while they were alive? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا Allah knows them well. Allah reminds us one more time, it's not that He needs our sadaqah or He needs our generosity. We need this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ Allah does not wrong even the weight of an atom. But إِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُدَاعِفْهَا If there is any good done, He doubles it. وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا And He will give from Himself a great reward. A narration from Bukhari and Muslim states, He who gives in charity the value of a date which he legally earned, and Allah accepts only that which is pure, Allah accepts it with His right hand and fosters it for him, as one of you fosters his mare, until it becomes like a mountain. We are also taught if a Muslim farms the land or plants a tree, and then a bird, a beast or a man eats something from it, he receives in return the reward of a charity. A narration from Muslim. These were just a few verses to give you an idea of the clear picture of Islam, and I'd like to end by reading out a verse from Surah Ibrahim, which sums up the picture of a true Muslim. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً Do you not see how Allah describes an example? A pure word is like a pure tree. The effects of La ilaha illallah are like a tree. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ Whose roots are firm. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ And its branches reach to the sky. تُؤْتِي أُكَلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا Giving its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ And Allah describes parables for mankind in order that they may remember. This is the example, this is the portrait of a mu'min. Like a tree, like a beautiful, lofty tree, an evergreen tree that gives its shade and its fruits to all. Whether that person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, like a rose, the Muslim gives scent even to the hand that crushes it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." The true Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are at peace. And this is what we have to inculcate within us. If we act upon all these teachings, then we can enter into a state of fitra, in harmony with the entire universe. As we read in the opening verse, كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ All are obeying Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah unite our hearts, set right our affairs, guide us to the ways of peace, and save us from fitna and discord in our relationships, and make us like the evergreen tree giving shade to all. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُم بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم وأخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله فآمن الطائفة من بني كفر الطائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين.